Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Comedian Nick Kroll joins me today to talk about the third and final season of his hit show on Comedy Central called The Kroll Show. And he's going to walk us through some of that show's many excellent musical moments. And first of all, Nick, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you for having me.
That was a short intro. Normally there I would attempt to explain what The Kroll Show is, but I've chickened out. So when people say, so what is your show about? What do you tell them?
You know, it's three seasons in, and it's probably the final season because I've never quite figured out how to explain the show. It's what I think is somewhat of a sketch show, somewhat more narrative than your average sketch show. Seth Meyers coined the phrase sketchuational comedy, which is a very cheesy thing, which I don't blame Seth for, but it's not bad in that it's because it's sketches, but also the characters that are in the sketches recur and it's telling sort of longer narrative arc stories.
Now, did you know that when you set out down this road?
We knew that we had characters that we wanted to tell stories for, you know, more than one. We didn't exactly know that it would turn into this where you kept coming back and we just kept finding that we had more and more information and more stories that we wanted to do with them.
So there's characters like Caesar.
Mom, I'm coming for you. I just can't run fast because my pants are so low.
There's Bobby Bottle Service, a kind of reality TV hunk guy.
I think of myself as like a very cool, very white Jay-Z, and I'm straight up looking for Beyonce.
Very kind of you to call him a hunk. He would be thrilled.
And then there are the two Liz's who run the publicity agency called Publicity.
Based off their names.
One of whom gives us like a little bit of a teaser about this third and final season.
Oh, hello, it's me, Liz, from Publicity. I'm here to make a quick announcement as the official publicist for Kroll Show to let you all know with a very heavy heart that this is going to be the final season of Kroll Show. It's been such an amazing run, and to think that it's come to a conclusion is so sad. But we want you to know that this final season is going to be, like, totally epic. So I just want to say, on behalf of all the characters from Kroll Show, thank you for watching, and we hope you enjoy this final season of Kroll Show.
It's going to be epic. you have followed these characters now for 2 years,
yes.
2 seasons, and do you like them? It seems like you've grown to like them.
I love them. I love these characters. I mean, I think if you're going to spend time with anyone, you want to like them. And especially if you're going to keep trying to tell more stories with them, you have to sort of start to root for them, even if they're seemingly the worst people in the world.
And that is the case, that some of them are seemingly the worst people in the world. They're just people you love to hate.
Yes.
Will there be, people begin to intersect, the different storylines?
Yeah, exactly. We season one, we started with a bunch of characters that we liked and that I brought in previous to the show. Some were created for the show. And we started to tell all their individual kind of shows and stories. And then as the season started to progress and we started to see that there were maybe some combinations of characters that would be fun to play together, we started to bring them together more in season two. And in season three, all of those, not all of them, but a lot of the stories start to intersect and worlds start to collide and everything begins to sort of collapse upon itself, which made me feel like, okay, we've now gone as far as we can go.
But if many of the characters are you, that presents a production,
yes.
a logistical nightmare,
yes.
I would assume.
Yes. Luckily I have an amazing ensemble of people who are on the show. So, there are things where I'm playing my character from, Caesar, who's a toilet baby from Alhambra with an infected lip ring. But then we were like, let's see what he would be like with Liz, Pretty Liz, who is played by Jenny Slate. So we bring them together. You know, this season on the show, John Daly plays a pawn shop owner from Pittsburgh named Dawn. And we thought, what would it be like to see Dawn with the Oh Hello guys, which are probably listening to WNYC as we speak, who are Upper West Side divorcees, pensioners who are obsessed with Alan Alda. So it would be like, what would it be like to see two of those New York kind of guys intersect with a Pittsburgh yokel?
Right.
And so there are ways of combining people without me doubling up, but this season we do have me doubling up now more.
Yeah. There's always been a really strong musical component to the show.
Yes.
Some of the characters, Brian Lacroix,
yes,
for example.
Of course.
Explain who Brian Lacroix is.
Brian Lacroix started on the show as we have a show within the show called Wheels Ontario. It is a parody of Degrassi, which is like a Canadian teen drama that has literally been on the air for about 30 years nonstop. It is high drama played with polite Canadian blandness. So we created a show called Wheels Ontario. Brian Lacroix was the actor playing Mikey on Wheels Ontario. And Brian Lacroix himself is trying to break out of his role to become a musician himself. And he's
a Bieber wannabe.
He's got a lot of Bieber. He flips his hair like Bieber, and he wants to be taken seriously. He wants to grow up, and so we began to explore him as a musician.
Right. Now, the way this happens is kind of, you know, for people who know pop music, they'll get the jokes that the songs are parodies.
Yes.
So what I want to do first here is play this song called Versace.
Yes.
By Migos.
Yes.
And then we'll see what happens when Nick / Brian gets their hands on it.
Whoa. I mean, I just love the Versace store. Versace.
Okay, so that's Versace by Migos, which almost sounds like a parody of a song already.
Yes, yes.
Pretty minimalist.
Yeah, that is aesthetic. That is a yeah, the Philip Glass of
Versace.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm like, what's this song about?
So now Brian Lacroix,
yes,
does a song called "I Don't Want to Go to Bed."
Yes, spelled Ottawa. Not go to bed because he's Canadian.
Right. So is this a direct kind of parody of that kind of repetitive minimalist technique?
It is. It's, you know, what I would say about our show is that it's both parody and it's celebration in a weird way, because I guarantee if you listen to that Versace song like three more times.
I'm not.
I have a feeling happening. You won't. But there becomes something that you do start to enjoy it. I mean, I guess like a lot of pop music and a lot of stuff, you start to be like, oh, I kind of like that. But yeah, so in our world, I called him Bieber. Brian Lacroix is trying to get hard and he wants to make his music. Last year, his music was very innocent. The song that he makes in season two is called Enter to Win, and it's a song about entering to win a chance to take his virginity.
Right.
But now, a season later, like Bieber, as we've watched Bieber grow up, he's becoming harder and he wants his own thing, and he's in our thing, he's now drinking Mucinex, which is like syrup, you know, the purple drink.
Yeah.
But he's drinking Mucinex, which is a Canadian cough syrup. And he doesn't want to go to bed. In the show, his mom tells him he needs to go to bed, and he throws a tantrum. And out of that, he writes this song called "I Don't Wanna Go to Bed."
Hey, Mom, I know you mean well, but I'm hanging with my boys tonight. We sipping soda pop and moose and next, staying up till the morning light. I don't wanna go to bed, Mom. We're trying to text some girls we like. So get the heck out of my room, Mom.
Get out.
And the loony bin are high.
I don't wanna go to bed. I don't wanna go to bed. I don't wanna.
writes these songs, these parodies?
We, there's a, in that song in particular, you know, we have a writer's room. And when we were trying to figure out what kind of song, you know, Brian would make, we in the room sort of thought, oh, this trap music, which is kind of what that Migos
Versace song.
Yeah, fits in that sort of highly repetitive, highly, you know, syncopated thing. So we were talking about trap music, and then one of our writers said, I don't want to go to bed, you know, using, because there's so much Canadian humor in the show. And then from there, we have two guys who make a lot of the music. One of them is Cyrus Bergmani, and Mark Rivers does a lot of the other music, who we'll hear later. But yeah.
So are you musical?
I am not musical in the least. My most insecure as a performer is singing. And I have, you know, I can dance all right, but musically I'm not terribly gifted, which season one we did a sketch called The Adventures of Young Billy Joel. And we made some fake Billy Joel songs, and I went and I was like, I'm going to record it. I want to sing it. And I did it, and I was like, boy, it's not easy to sing as well as Billy Joel, it turns out.
Nonetheless, there is a CD for people who are fans of your musical parodies.
Yes.
And they can find it on iTunes and online. So why is there so much music in this show, in a show that seems to skewer TV culture, mm-hmm. pop media?
I think it's that, you know, my feeling is we... You know, everything is subject for parody and satire, and our culture at this point, you know, TV, especially because music sales are down, I think there's even more music on television in a way, because it's the only way for musicians to make money, or there are shows like The Voice or American Idol, right, or America's Got Talent.
Well, you mentioned Degrassi. I mean, that spawned a slew of, you know, teen dramas that,
yes,
became the breeding ground for indie bands to get their careers
exactly
launched.
Exactly. So a lot of those that is a way for musicians to get their music out there. So it just felt like if you're going to skewer culture and you're going to skewer television, that music is such an integral part of it, and it's such a and it also is such a useful tool for us on the show to connect dots and bring different worlds together, and that is super helpful for us.
Yeah. Now, another one of your musical characters is Nash Rickey, who,
yes,
is a kind of almost a Spinal Tap-ish character.
Yeah, he's Nash Rickey was in a band in the 80s called Sloppy Seconds. Although, really, actually, in my mind, the narrative is in the early 90s.
It's a hair metal band.
Hair metal band, and the Poison, some Guns N' Roses, but more in, like, his look is like Bret Michaels. That bandana, some eyeliner, a weird goatee, still wearing, like, leather vests and leopard skin. And
I love Jesus and pornography.
And so it was like, oh, let's explore him more. And
so what you just did there, the
Jesus support, yeah,
the kind of vocal characterization, you know, we heard Liz doing the epic.
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
So when you're able to, like, kind of use your voice in a malleable way like that,
mm-hmm,
how big a leap is that from going to song, you know, from the different kinds of speech?
You know, that's a great question, and I should talk to my therapist about why I can't. But it is. I have a pretty good voice control, but I think that I have trouble. Like, I can't harmonize to save my life. If you started singing right now, I would sing "Wherever You Are" is where I'm singing. Like, there's no ability for me to modulate.
Well, but that requires, like, musical,
yes,
you know, some kind of training to know, well, I want to be at the third.
Right.
Now I want to be at the fifth.
Yes. I mean, I look at music, little b divided by big B, C, and I was like, this is math, and I have no interest in learning math.
There's a great sketch built around a song called L.A. Deli,
mm-hmm,
which is, like, right out of height of MTV, Van Halen, etc.
Mm-hmm.
What is the song that this is spoofing?
Well, we, you know, all those metal, those hair metal bands, it's two things. One, like a song like California Girls, where he's listing all the different girls from different parts of the country and how much they love them, right?
Well, East Coast girls are in. Southern girls with the way they talk, they knock me out when I'm down there.
our take on it was all those bands. I live in LA, and if you go to Cantor's Deli, all of like Guns N' Roses, they all hung out at Cantor's Deli. They were open late. They could party and then go to the deli and have a burger or have a sandwich. So we thought, instead of doing a song about how beautiful all the girls in LA are, let's talk about all the different delis in LA.
Here's what Nick Kroll's character, Nash Ricky, and Sloppy Seconds do with it.
When the party's breaking up and the clubs are closing down and the city of angels sleeps, there's only one place in town, me and the boys will be found. Got a Jones for some savory meats. Candace rocks and Nash's down in Hollywood, but I love my Jerry Stiles dolls. And the baby gets a thrill for a Langer's kosher deal and she cream for green black spots and balls. L.A., D.L.A., where the after party's raging in my L.A. town. L.A., D.L.A., the most promised.
The video that goes with it is just like perfect. It's just so...
Yeah,
MTV.
They just nailed it. We nailed it, but our camera guys and director just nailed that aesthetic, and it's really a fun one to watch.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing about doing parodies. I mean, we've seen this over and over again, and it doesn't matter which genre or art form you're in. The best parodies are done by people who genuinely love the things they're parodying.
Yeah, I agree. I think in this case, like Mark Rivers, who did the song and is actually the vocals and did all of the instruments on that L.A. Deli, I think, you know, went through a period where he listened to a lot of that music, or just can appreciate it in a real way. I really do think that, like, you know, our show has a lot of reality show stuff. It's got some filmic stuff. It's got this music stuff. And it truly is like I do think the best satire and parody is where you love it, because if you love it, you can really study it and you can really bring out what's inside of it. And and again, I think the more you love in my case with our show, the more that we love the characters and the worlds that we're parodying or aping, the more real they become and the more fulfilling they are to consume.
Now, for you, are there musical guilty pleasures? Are there things that you like that, if asked on mic, you would be hesitant to admit to?
Well, I grew up a big, like, jazz guy. That was the first music that really grabbed me. And I used to
Like who?
Monk, Mingus.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, the Coltranes and Miles of the world. But, you know, like, my senior prom, I convinced our group of friends to go see McCoy Tyner at the Iridium.
Wow.
And I sat next to his tiny Japanese wife. And that was what I grew up in. A funny way, jazz is something that is sort of, it's a guilty pleasure to talk about.
Yeah.
In an interesting way. I mean, I love it, but I also now can appreciate like Migos. And I will, like, the one of the other songs that we parody this year on the show is that song Timber by Kesha and Pitbull.
Right.
I have a respect for both of them. They're clearly very smart, talented people who have achieved a lot of success. But as characters, I abhor them. yet, after you listen to that song for 2 weeks, you're like, you know, you're in it. Like, you can't.
You're going to move. You're going to dance.
You can't deny. Exactly. Exactly. They're right. You are going to move and you are going to dance.
Swing your partner round and round. End of the night is going down. One more shot, another round. End of the night is going down. Swing your partner round and round.
Thought that was a ripe song and world, because what we found now is that the last year or two is country has become something that a lot of non-country people will do, and country artists are now crossing over. It's just too fertile of a marketplace to ignore, and so you see a lot of musicians quote unquote going country.
Right, and so what we're going to hear is called
broing country. Who's Bobby? This is from an upcoming episode where Bobby Bottle Service and Peter Paparazzo decide that they are going to literally, quote unquote, go country as business decisions.
Cool, twerk your point around and round.
Do see do and drop it down.
Right back up and body your bra.
Yeehaw!
We country, y'all.
Broing country, bros.
Feature there by another character on the show named Senior Feature, who is my pit bull character, who is stuck in a green screen prison
of his own design,
so that he can feature on everybody's songs wherever he is. He also he has a foot fetish.
It's just so close to the reality of pit bull. Yeah. Nick Kroll. So the Kroll Show, third and final season on Comedy Central. The League,
yes.
The fantasy football show, is also ending.
Yes.
What are you going to do with all your time?
I just want
more Parks and Rec, or
Parks and Rec is finishing as well.
All right.
I mean, I'm hoping to come to WNYC to do my jazz show.
There's the piano. You can do your McCoy Tyner impersonation.
Oh, that's the easiest of all. I'm as good a piano player as McCoy Tyner.
Yeah, of course. Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Nick, a real pleasure having you with
us on
Soundcheck today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being here.
Subscribe to the Soundcheck podcast. Leave us a rating and a review in the iTunes store by searching for Soundcheck and clicking on ratings and reviews. We'd really appreciate your feedback. Thanks for listening. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.